I want to read our sermon text for you today. If you do have a Bible with, or if you find one in your pew, we're going to be in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. This is Jesus speaking. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Lord, I pray that you would open up your word now. Your word is truth, and it's our life breath. We need you. We need your spirit to understand. So I ask for your help, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So where we've been, most of you have been here, some of you are maybe new tonight. Just to catch you up a little bit, we're going through this series in Lent, looking at these statements in the book of John where Jesus was declaring his divinity by using God's name, I Am. Jehovah God said, "I want you to call me I Am." So there are several times when Jesus is answering questions or making statements where he makes that proclamation, I am. And we're walking through those passages and looking at what they mean about who he is. We started on Ash Wednesday saying, well, if God's name is I am, then our name is I am not. Even though we try to take his place all the time. And that's the way we're wired, unfortunately. God alone is God. Last week we took a look at the first statement here that Jesus made in the book of John, I am the light of the world. That brings us to today. So Jesus is teaching his disciples, but he's in the presence of the Pharisees and the self-appointed religious leaders of Israel. They are standing around, they are judging him, they're looking for a way to attack him, to discredit him. Jesus uses two different metaphors in this text. And we can see that they're tied together, but they're separate. Each one beginning with Jesus' signature starting point, truly, truly, I say to you. We see that twice in this passage. So they're related, but they're separate. And the common thread is you and me. We're sheep. Okay? That's us. So in both of these metaphors we look at today, remember, you're sheep, and so am I. That's our role in the story. Sheep here refers to the people of God. So I guess I better clarify. If you know for sure that Jesus has forgiven your sins and you're walking with him in faith, you're a sheep. Okay? If you don't know that for sure, then this is a good place to be. All right? Sheep are the people of God, saved people, God's own people. But you can see here, and this is a familiar passage for many of us, so we know that Jesus is talking about himself. Of course, the disciples were hearing this stuff for the first time, right? But we've heard this language before in church. We see that Jesus uses two different metaphors here to represent himself. He alludes to himself as the shepherd of the sheep in verses 2 through 5, but then he seems to mix metaphors as he switches gears. And then in verses 6 through 9, he refers to himself explicitly with another I am statement. I am the door of the sheep, he says. And that's what we're looking at and focusing on today. There's a ton of teaching that we can do in verses 2 through 5, but I'm going to save some of that for next week when we get to verse 11, and that's where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. So we'll talk about all of that stuff next week. Today we zero in on verses 7 and 9. Jesus says, I'm the door. I'm the door. That means we can't cover everything, and here's what we're leaving behind, all right? Number one, what it means is that you and I, God's people, who are often referred to as sheep, hey, there's good reason for that. We're not talking about that today. Just know you're a sheep, okay? Next week. Number two, we're not talking about the relationship here between the shepherd and the sheep. That's next week, okay? And number three, what does it mean to be a shepherd? I'm not talking about that today. But what you need to understand in all of the teaching today is that you and I are the sheep. The other elements of Jesus' metaphors are this. Number one, the bad guys. And there are bad guys. He calls them thieves and robbers. Three different verses point to thieves and robbers. Number two, he talks about a sheepfold or a sheep pen. And then number three, he talks about the door of the sheep. So that kind of sets our course for today. 3 points in the message. Number one, the danger of the enemy. Number two, the safety of the protected place. And then number three, the only way in. And I want to start with the danger of the enemy. First, understand the context of this story to identify who Jesus is pointing to here. Because verses don't just float on their own, right? We pick up a story to teach a section of it, but it lives in an ongoing story in a context. Chapter 10 obviously follows chapter... That was easy. Come on, you guys have had kindergarten. Chapter 10 obviously follows chapter... 9, that's right. And as we go back and look at chapter 9, it follows chapter 9 in terms of thought, too. This is a connected story. There's no break between chapter 9 and 10, no time gap, no change in circumstance, no change in the crowd. Jesus continues to speak to the very same people he was speaking to in chapter 9. There doesn't even need to be a chapter break here, really. Verse 1 follows immediately after verse 41. And the problem of chapter 9, as we go back and just to isolate one area of it, was that Jesus was attempting to deal with and to confront, and this is important, the false shepherds of Israel. See, the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders had assumed their own roles. They had not been appointed by God, but became self-appointed and self-righteous shepherds of Israel, false shepherds. They didn't know God at all. They didn't care anything about the sheep. They trampled the sheep. They called them cursed and cast them out whenever they disagreed with them. They had self-appointed assumption of leadership. They lived in an ivory tower of self-glorification and loved nothing better than to trample the people and to keep them subject to their ridiculous traditions and laws. And this careless attitude is indicated in chapter 9 by the way they dealt with the beggar who was born blind. See, that story is immediately preceding this passage. When Jesus healed him, they didn't believe it. They rejected his testimony and they didn't like his attitude. They refused to believe him. They didn't care at all that he was actually healed. Could have cared less about his physical circumstances. They finally wound up throwing him out of the synagogue and of the life of Israel, both socially and economically and religiously. They didn't care about the man. They only cared about Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ posed a conflict to their theology. And their only determination wasn't to help anybody. It was that they were determined at this point to get rid of Jesus. The man who was healed didn't even enter their thoughts. Only Jesus did. He was the issue because he threatened the security of their ivory tower, didn't he? So the self-appointed false teachers didn't care about the people, and they were false shepherds. They would have understood this idea of a false shepherd because it's an Old Testament concept. See, the modern day false shepherds are the same today. They're in it for themselves. They don't care about the people. They use people. They use people. And the devil uses them to distract and dissuade people from finding true life in the true shepherd through the one true door of the sheep. So we're talking about false spiritual leaders. Some who claim to be Christian, by the way. Many who do. But also, I want to refer to the false religion of modern philosophy and the secular worldview that says that truth is malleable, right? Flexible based on cultural norms, that the Bible is an old book and it might have some good things to say, but it's not the actual infallible word of God. We know much better now. And I would include this even. The creeping, insidious nature of our busy, distracted society. Where people don't slow down to think about what really matters. In fact, they prefer not to. Just self-medicate with substance and entertainment. Verse 1. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way," meaning those who try to circumvent the door and get into whatever that safety and peace and okayness that we all want, if they try to find that another way, that man is a thief and a robber. So the actual picture, if you look at the metaphor, the actual picture Jesus is talking about is that nobody in an actual sheep pen wants to get into those sheep by avoiding the door or trying to get into the sheepfold over the wall unless they have bad intentions for the sheep, right? There's no other reason why somebody would avoid the door and try to get into the sheep another way unless they have bad intentions toward the sheep. And remember, you are the sheep. Anyone trying to lead people to peace and spiritual safety and well-being while circumventing Jesus is an enemy of you and of God. Jesus has his eye squarely on the Pharisees in his day. But he also has his eye fixed on the Joel Osteens and the Oprah Winfreys and the rampant, creeping, secular postmodernism of today. He calls these tempters and demonic, false spiritual leaders thieves and robbers. Thieves and robbers. Now, if you're an Oprah Winfrey fan, she does a lot of things really well. But she is not a spiritual leader. Verse 1, and then in verse 8, and then again in verse 10, Jesus is pointing to thieves and robbers. This is the danger of the enemy. Thief and robber, by the way, are two different words. They represent two different kinds of danger. The word thief is kleptes. And that's where we get our word kleptomaniac. Kleptes means one who steals. And this is a picture of a quiet, sneaking, insidious threat. Like the serpent in the garden asking, did God really say? You won't surely die. Trying to deceive. This is a picture of somebody sneaking into your safe place and robbing you. You may not even know it. And that happens in the world today when the enemy tries to slip in the back door. Twist your thinking away from the Word of God. Little by little, you don't even know it. And he's stealing your peace. Because he's telling you to rely on your own spiritual doing in order to secure your well-being with God. He slips it in little by little and he robs you of your peace and your joy and your security and your community. The second word here is robber. And robber is in Greek lestes, which means not one who steals, but one who slaughters. Some stole the sheep for the fleece. Others slaughtered the sheep because they wanted the meat. My dad and I used to hunt deer up in northern Minnesota, way up north, like 4 miles from Canada. And the deer are thick up there. But there are wolves up there. I remember when my dad and I came across, we were going through the woods to our stand, and we came across a wolf kill. And there was blood everywhere, and it was scary. And Dad has been out in those woods at night or early in the morning. And he said, it is an eerie thing to hear the wolves howl around you on all sides. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Verse 10 here today says, the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy, to slaughter you. Why? Why are we facing this danger, you and I? It's because sin has condemned us, and we deserve it. We deserve the slaughter. You have a real enemy, and his mission is to steal your joy and your peace and your safety and your community and eventually your very life. Jesus calls all who would take you around the back, all those empty philosophies that avoid the door, that avoids Jesus. He calls all the competing ideologies and false spiritual leaders thieves and robbers. Don't be deceived. The devil is real and his tactics are cunning. There's a threat outside the walls. That leads us to the safety of the protected place. Safety of the protected place. Remember, I said there's two metaphors at work here. And there's a shift in the picture of that safe place for the sheep that takes place here. It's not immediately obvious from the text, but it will be important. I'll show you. In verse 1, Jesus is talking about the sheepfold as the place for the sheep. That sheepfold would be in a village or a city or a town. And it would be up against a building, most likely. It would be built of stone or rock walls with probably thorn bushes up around the top. There would be a fixed gate in that stone wall. And there'd be a gatekeeper who knew who the shepherds were, knew who the sheep were. Several flocks were kept together usually in the sheepfold, like several flocks from that town. And the shepherd would come in, and the sheep knew the voice of the shepherd. So their shepherd would call his own sheep by name, and they would come to him, and then he could lead them in and out of the sheepfold. That's next week. It's important that Jesus is describing the flock or the church, right? Huddling together under the protection of their keeper. That's what's important. Nothing can get in or out without his saying so. There's only one door. Now, watch this. Verse 1 talks about entering the sheepfold, doesn't it? The sheep come into the sheepfold at night when it gets dark. So the darkness grows. God provides safety. Then verse 3 talks about the shepherd calling his sheep by name and leading them out. What does that mean? Out of the safety of God? Out of relationship with God? Can't mean that. See, the shepherd is still with the sheep. This is now a picture of early in the morning. The sheep are being led out into the world to graze. Verse 4 says, when he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, leading them. This is provision under protection. That's what this is. An interaction with the world. Now, you and I, we can decide to be sheep together, and a lot of churches do this. They get into the sheepfold and they just stay there. It's all about us. Let's look at us. Let's do what we want. Let's enjoy each other. Let's encourage each other, but let's stay together. We don't want to go out there where it's dangerous. Let's stay right here. But God doesn't call us to that. Jesus leads us out into the world and provides for us under his protection so that we can interact with the world. Amen? The sheep would go with their shepherd far away from the sheepfold, back in the town or the city or the village, too far to return every night. And as night begins to fall then, the shepherd would create a sheep pen out in the field, against a hillside or a rock, a safe place just for his own little flock. Now this is probably made of sticks and bushes and whatever he could pile up. And there was no gate, was there? He didn't have a Home Depot out there. There was no gate, just an open space to get the sheep in. And as darkness descended and grew, if the sheep could get inside the sheep pen, they would be saved. My question is this: are you inside the pen? Or are you just playing games outside the pen in the dark? And I don't know how about you, but when I was a kid growing up, man, I loved playing night games, we called it, night games. We would get our friends together, the youth group or a group of buddies, and we would play games like kick the can around the house or hide and seek or ghosts in the graveyard, right? All of these great kids' games that you play outside in the dark. Why? It's exhilarating out there. It's dangerous out there. And some of you are still playing kids' games outside the pen in the dark. And it is not safe. There are wolves out there. Verse 9 says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. See, Jesus wants you to know for sure. This is different than every other religion of the world. All of the other religions leave us hanging, guessing whether we've done enough to reach our intended goal of peace with God. But nobody ever gets there. Jesus says, if you enter by the door to the safe place, you will be saved. Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. John 3:36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. We're not left hanging. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Jesus is the door into the safety of the protected place. That is the kingdom of God. Everyone who believes in him receives the peace of living under the care of the keeper of the sheep. But this is absolutely key. There's only one door. There's only one door. Sheepfold or sheep pen, there's only one door. Verse 9 again says, I am the door, Jesus. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, only if you enter by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. When I was first reading these verses, I kept tripping over the mixed metaphor here. Jesus is the shepherd, or Jesus is the door? Which is it? Or both? Is it both? And how does that work? Can Jesus lead us as the shepherd through the only door that is himself somehow? How can Jesus be both the shepherd and the door? And then I had this light bulb moment. Remember I told you that there's two metaphors connected but different? And remember how I told you that Jesus started out describing the safe place as a sheepfold made of permanent stone walls and a gate and many sheep. And then he described his protection for the sheep, the safe place out in the world as a simple sheep pen. Here's why that matters. That little hillside sheepfold was just a little simple wall out of mud or stone or wood, and it had an opening, but no door. Just an opening. And Jesus says, I am the door. So how does that work? Like this. At night, the shepherd would take all of his sheep and he would put them in the fold. And you know what he'd do then? He would lie down across the opening. And no sheep could ever go out without somebody going over the body of the shepherd. Literally, the shepherd was the door. So Jesus says in one breath, I'm the shepherd, and in the next breath he says, I'm also the door. Because in the most true sense, the shepherd on that hillside became the door to the sheepfold. He knew every sheep that went in or out. You cannot enter the presence of God through any other door. You must go over the broken body of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. The shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, right? Jesus, Paul says in Ephesians 2, is the only way to have access to the Father. Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other, no other way. And in verse 8, all that ever came before me were thieves and robbers. Jesus says there's been a lot of other false doors, lots of false shepherds and doors, but all of them, every false one has been a thief and a robber. There have been false prophets, false teachers, false messiahs, false shepherds, false doors who said, we're the way. We're the way. Come this way. Come through us. Come through us. But Jesus says, I'm the only door to God's safe place. You'll never get in but by me. I not only lead you out of bondage, but I'm the door through which you enter into God's presence. Only by my body, which I laid down for you. And here's our conclusion in verse 10. Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. See, that's the selling point of Christianity, is the abundant life. It's giving up playing with mud pies to gain a vacation at the ocean, isn't it? The abundant life. Jesus wants us to thrive, and he's provided for it. He gives you peace, no shame. He gives you the church, a flock to huddle with, to encourage each other. He gives you deep joy that he says is our strength. You don't have to be weak and scared and alone. You can be strong and courageous and united with the saints forever. I want you to remember tonight, number one, you have a real enemy. A real enemy seeking to knock the legs out from under you or to subtly turn you one step at a time away from Jesus, the only way to freedom, until you're bound and ready for slaughter. Number two, there is a safe place. Jesus, the keeper of the sheep, provides protection for us under his mighty arms. And no one can touch one that's held in his hand. And number three, the only way in is through the door. There's only one door. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Amen.